We'll read in our Bibles, Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. Proverbs 22, verses 1 through 18. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, but he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Thus far we read from God's word. Our text is verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our context gives good grounds for this admonition. The context reminds us that we must choose a good reputation by walking in the ways which are wise and good. We are warned from the way of wicked men who rebel against God. We are warned not to sow the seeds of sin, lest we reap the harvest of future misery. We are admonished in this chapter to not be slothful, not to oppress the poor, not to reject wise instruction, and not to remove the ancient landmarks, the truth of God's word. We are admonished to be diligent, to be a liberal giver, to embrace the wisdom of Christ, and to hold fast to the traditions, not of men, but of Scripture. Now verse 6 raises the question, well, how will a child know this? And how will a child know what to do and what not to do? The Lord gives us the answer to that. The Lord tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. What you have been taught, which is the way to go according to the Bible, now you train up your children to know the same things which you have learned from God's Word. This text is often quoted by Christian schools when they print the report cards for the children. Under the child's name or above the child's name, we have the name of the school. And then perhaps below the name of the school is this text, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. It's a very common text, very familiar text, which even children memorize and which we as children must work at memorizing. Though the text is for parents, yet you children will someday, the Lord willing, also be parents and need to have this text firmly rooted in your hearts through the way of memorizing. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's this text which teaches us as parents what to do with our children. We as parents are not, having conceived and brought them forth, and then we feed them and clothe them and so on, then leave it up to the children to decide what to learn or what not to learn and when to learn and how much to learn. No. That's the duty which God has given to us. Not just from a natural point of view, but especially from the viewpoint of baptism, God has entrusted to us these children, now marked by baptism, now to give them an instruction which is in harmony with that baptism, an instruction which separates them and makes the whole world know that these children are not the children of the world, the children of unbelievers. These are the children of God. These are covenant children. We need to know the promises of God. And it's these promises which we have signified and sealed to us in the sacrament of baptism, as well as the Lord's Supper earlier today. Those promises which motivate us to be faithful as parents towards our children. And the Lord's Supper itself, you might wonder, well, how does that fit baptism and our text? How does this work? It works this way, beloved, as we also leave the Lord's table, have that truth applied to us, we are commanded by the Lord to leave that table, having fought on Christ crucified and had that signified and sealed to us by the broken bread and the poured out wine. The way from the table is a way of thanksgiving to God that he has given us relief from the depths of sin to the lofty heights of glory with Christ. And then the way of thanksgiving for us as God's people is many different things, but also this, that we train our children to walk the same way that we do, so that one day they may also partake of the Lord's Supper, walk in the way they should go. Therefore, beloved, train up a child in the way he should go. First of all, that's the duty which God lays before us. When considering the truth of training up a child, first must realize that the object of that training is a child. And that's rather obvious, but notice that the word used here refers to a child in the general sense, so that the text refers to a child as an infant, a child as a toddler, and then through their childhood, and then through their teenage years. and a time of transition between childhood and then soon adulthood. That period of that person's life is referred to in the text as a child. That's who must be trained from birth through their teenage years. More importantly, you must remember that child in the text is a covenant child, a child born to believers. Solomon is speaking in the passage to the church. It's referring to us as God's people, the child whom you have received as a heritage from the Lord. That child which you have brought as you are obligated to baptism, and now that baptized child is the one whom you must train. Train up in the way they should go. You have separated them from the world by baptism, and now your training of them must flow out and stand in harmony with what has been signified and sealed to us in baptism. And in addition to that, that child coming into a covenant home, into the church, now is under the obligations of that baptism. And the child doesn't know what that is yet, but yet the child is obligated to walk in the same way the father of the home or the parents walk, in the way of faith and repentance. The child must love the Lord, must hate the world and Satan and sin, must repent, must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, walk as a child of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of our homes. So that our children learn all of that, the Lord tells you and me as parents, now teach that to your children. We answer with the question, well, Lord, what must we teach them? The Lord says in His Word, teach them the Word. Teach them the truth. In the Bible you have all the truth, all the doctrines of Jesus Christ. As Paul taught Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, here is God's infallibly inspired Word. Being taught the Holy Scriptures, this will make your children wise unto salvation, unto everlasting life, and will equip them unto all good works. For that purpose, then, from the Scriptures, teach them the truth. Teach them the tulip. Teach them the Heidelberg Catechism. All the other confessions that we have. Teach them about the covenant. Teach them about sin. About Christ. About being thankful. Teach your children the Bible stories. About all the Old Testament saints. Read to them the Scriptures as they get older. Explain to them what the Bible means. Take the Bible, take the Scriptures, and then apply the Scriptures to the life of your children. Show them, this is the way we must go. This is the way you must go. All other ways, children, what must we do with them that are not the ways of the Bible? What must we do with them? We say no to them. We say we're not going to go down the way of wickedness. We will reject the way of wickedness, of evil, false teachings, everything that hates the Lord. We will not go down the broad path that leads to destruction. This is the way we must go. The way of the Bible. The way of God's truth. That means then if you or I have been taught to walk in a way which is wrong, or if you and I are walking in a way which is contrary to the Bible, what must we do? We must repent of that, turn away from that, walk in the way which we must go. which God requires, which Christ requires, the way of the Scriptures, the way of His truth, Christ crucified. That's the way of daily repentance, daily bowing before the cross for forgiveness from our horrible sin, and then in the light and the power of that cross going forth in thanksgiving. It's the way of your only comfort in life and death. It is. It's the way of saying no to the world, whatever is evil, and saying yes to Christ, what is right and good. It's the way of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The way which is sweet to Christ and to our fellow saints, the sweet fruit of the Spirit of Christ. There's more we could say about the content of that instruction. But beloved, do you labor to teach your children and the children of the church by your word and your example, and by your example the other children of other covenant homes in the church, do you labor to teach them the way they must go? That's what God demands of you and me. When He gives to you and me His heritage, which is His children, how will He have us handle them? He commands us, now train them. And that word train, beloved, is a very, very vivid word used in the Hebrew language. That word train means really to feed. It means to cause to taste or to fill up one or another one's mouth. Yes, this is the word that makes us think of the picture of a mother spoon-feeding her baby out of the bowl and then into the mouth of the baby, and then the baby eats that food. That's how his life in his infancy goes. That's what the Lord teaches us as parents to do to our children, to feed them. We start out with the milk, just as a mother feeds her baby with her milk, so we as parents have our children nurse on the milk of God's Word. We don't hand them Reformed dogmatics or something like that. No, we sit down with them at night before they go to bed, or at the mealtime together, read them the Bible stories. Tell them how the life of Moses went. We'll talk about Noah. Read the Bible. Have them imagine. They have that gift. Use that gift of their imagination to absorb the history, the stories, God's stories of His saints in the Bible. And then, giving them the milk, they begin to add some solids to their food. Begin to add, introduce to them the truth of election. When we talk about Jesus as the good shepherd and His sheep whom He loves, add a few chunks of solid food with the milk. And then slowly as they get older to their teenage years, there's a lot less milk and more solid meat. Until in adulthood, they can feed on the full feast of God's Word. We are to feed them from our hands, from our hearts, which God has given us the truth, to their hearts, the mouths of faith. With that food, then, that they digest in their hearts and souls, they will then have the strength to walk in the way that they should go. And when they learn all about Moses and David, Hezekiah, John the Baptist, and all the rest, they will learn that the way that I need to go is this, the same way Enoch walked. He went the way of walking with God. Walking with Christ. Feed your children, beloved. Feed my lambs, Jesus commanded us in John chapter 21. Feed my lambs. Means negatively, don't poison them, don't starve them. Don't feed them with a lifestyle that is unbiblical, showing by our life we don't care about God's commandments, or we do something which is completely contradictory to what God teaches. That's to poison them. Don't give your children stones to eat by failing to give them the word of Christ, the truth of the Reformed faith, so that though they hear at school perhaps things which are terrible, ungodly, unbiblical, and there they are at home, and we fail to, as it were, reprogram them or to give them the truth, we starve them. We may do that. We need to feed them with the Word of God. Don't sit them before the television, before the videos and the magazines and the internet and everything else, and the world's ungodly music, and then have them feed on those pig troughs of the world's food. Feed them the Word of God. Remember, all the food of the world and unbelief only leads them down the way that they should not go, which is the broad way to hell. Feed them with the food that will sustain them through the wilderness of this life in faithfulness to the heavenly city. And you children know from the Bible stories in the Old Testament that the only thing that could get Israel through the wilderness to Canaan for 40 years, one thing, manna. And the water out of the rock. That's it. The Lord says, that's what you must feed your children. Manna and water. When we do that, beloved, we will train our baptized children to be, first of all, our girls, to be faithful wives, the Lord willing, faithful mothers of Israel, and faithful keepers in the home. By feeding them with the manna and the water out of the rock, we'll train our boys to be faithful husbands, the Lord willing, and fathers, and spiritual leaders in their future homes, and in the Reformed Church, which most purely bears the three marks of a faithful church of Jesus Christ. Feed my children, saith the Lord, whom I entrust to you for a little while. And that's necessary, beloved, because, first of all, our children are sinners. Psalm 51 reminds us they are conceived and born in sin. They also have an old, corrupt nature, which we already begin to see very soon in their infancy, which makes us as parents to weep. That's the reality. If we leave those children to themselves, then verse 15 of the chapter applies. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. They need to be trained to walk in the way that they should go, because they're prone by nature to walk in the way that they should not go, the opposite direction. Just as it was true for us when we were children. That's the way we were prone to go, and that's still the way we are prone to go, in the way which we are not supposed to walk, ways of sin. So we need to give our children, as God has given to us, chastisement. As verse 15 lays out, the rod of correction. You need to admonish them, because that's the God-ordained means to have the children come face to face with the reality of their sin, so that they may learn that their only hope in life is nowhere else. Nowhere else. Only in Christ. That's their only comfort. as well. And that tool of admonishing them, even chastising them, serves as a tool to work in them a love for the Lord, a love for the way that they must go, which leads to everlasting life. It works in them that hope of everlasting life. Yes, you children, by your parents must be called to repent of your sin. We as children don't like to hear that, because when our parents call us to repent of our sin, we're ready to say, well, why are you calling me to repent when look at all your sins? As children, we may never do that. We must hear their call to repent, just as they must hear the call to repent, fight daily against their sin. So we as children must think about ourselves and our sin, repent of our sin and sinful natures and our old corrupt nature, and turn to Christ, forsaking our ways of walking in the lusts of our sin, forsaking that, looking to Christ, walking in the way which He leads, to everlasting life. And then seeing that the blessed way is to go the way of the text, the way of walking with Christ. And why do we as children need to know that? Why do we need to be trained or to be fed with these things? Because, children, that will prepare you to fight that old nature that's going to go with you the rest of your life. He's not going to disappear tomorrow. He will disappear when you die. But until then, you have a lifelong battle. You need to be fed with the doctrines of repentance, the doctrines of Christ, the doctrines of a way of a thankful life in your childhood, so that when you get older, being trained, you continue in the same way the rest of your life. Fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, office bearers in the church, believers in the office of believer in the church, until the day you die and your work on earth is finished. That's the way you must go. In your childhood, you learn how to do that with the help of your parents. And then when you're released from the home, continue in the way which you have been set, that direction, by your God-fearing parents. But secondly, that training is necessary because that's the God-ordained way of being trained. Little infants, we know very well, even as they grow up, toddlers, they can't feed themselves. They can't go into the cupboard or on the shelf and pull out the rice and cook it. They don't know where to start. A little baby cannot get up, walk to his mother, and then lay down beside her and feed. Can't do that. The child must be picked up. She's helpless, or he is helpless. They must be clothed. They must be bathed. They must be nurtured and cherished. They cannot teach themselves Psalm 23, and the Lord is my shepherd. We need to teach them. Spiritually, the children will not learn the truth on their own. Naturally, they learn all the ways of sin. That doesn't take very long. That's natural to them. But the ways of God, the way they should go, not on their own. God has ordained that the way that the child is fed, the way we as children and as adults as we were back in our childhood learned the ways of Scripture was by the hand, the mouth, the example of our parents. We are in duty bound to do this every day. If we don't do that, the Lord is righteous, and then we will have children being neglected, become spiritually sick, spiritually weak, perhaps spiritually bloated if we have fed them the fast foods of the world, because of which they will have no strength to say no to the world, no to the winds of false doctrine, no strength to say, yes, I'm convinced this is right, what you're telling me is wrong. They won't have that strength. What the Lord teaches here in the way of faithfulness, in the way of parents faithfully day by day training that child, feeding them one spoonful at a time, day after day, through all their years under our care, they will grow up to be, by the grace of God, healthy Christians, humble before God, daily repenting of their sins, looking always to Christ for their forgiveness, looking to the King whom they love, to follow His commandments, to walk in the ways of His truth, and to seek His kingdom first in this life, and to sacrifice themselves for the sake of the truth. And that behooves us then as children, as parents, to tell them these things by our word and our example. By your word and your example, teach your children to pray. Teach them to love the songs of Zion, the Psalms. Teach them to be a true giver unto God in our offerings, a cheerful giver in thanksgiving to God. Show them by word and example how to spend your blood, your sweat, and your tears on the causes of God's kingdom. Show them how to be a faithful pilgrim and stranger in the earth, sojourning unto the heavenly kingdom, and one who is not at all interested in making a home here in this life, but content to dwell in a tent spiritually. Show them the life of trusting that as we seek God's kingdom first, God will add to us the daily bread which we need. That is the way they should go. We as parents must take the lead. Lead the little sheep, the little lambs, down the pathway they must go, and feed them with the word of Christ, which gives them the strength to follow Him where He leads by our godly instruction. The promise is that in doing so, the children, when they get old, will not depart from that. Isn't that amazing? It really is amazing when it comes to pass. That becomes an amazing wonder that it actually happens, that the child trained up in his youth in the truth of God's word, when he gets older, it happens by a miracle of God's grace. The text reminds us, beloved, that the unavoidable reality is that the child which God has given you, the little Emily that was baptized, and the others recently, and the little ones we have sitting next to us or on our laps, they don't stay that small for very long. We'd like to hold them there and maybe keep them a little smaller, and it doesn't work. Time marches on like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. Very quickly, 18 years passes, and they're gone. You and I do not have a minute to waste in feeding them, saturating them with an instruction by word and example, which is the way that they must go. Very soon, the day comes when they're gone. They're an adult now. Our work, the bulk of our work in feeding them, training them, is finished. And the Lord's promise is, which gives us hope in our work, that they will, by our godly, biblical, Christ-centered instruction, they will walk in the way which they were taught. That's God's word. That's His promise. And the Bible teaches us that God swears an oath concerning his promises in Christ. What God says is not, well, he hopes it will happen, now it's up to you to make it to happen. No, this is his promise, based on his goodness in Jesus Christ. This is the way which he has ordained that those who come to salvation, often within the covenant, it's in the generations of believers and our seed. That's what we hope for as parents, that our children and grandchildren may walk in the way that they should go as we also go. And that promise which God has sworn to believers and their seed according to Genesis 17 verse 7 and Acts 2 verse 39, God will fulfill. That's his oath. When the children, his children, whom he entrusts to your care for a little while, are fed with his word to walk in the way they should go, when they get older, they will not depart from it. They won't. God will see to it. The certainty of that, beloved, is not, be thankful it's not in you or me, but in Christ. It's never in us. That doesn't take away from the obligation we have made when we promised at baptism to train our children. We have a commitment, a very serious one. But who of us can fulfill that promise to our children perfectly? When I said earlier, by word and example we must teach them, most of us who are sensitive to our sins would think, oh, by my example too? Oh. Our example hasn't been very good, has it? Often. We don't teach our children as we should, do we? And that humbles us, beloved, before the text. It's impossible for us to fulfill that work on our own. We see our weaknesses. In light of the promise, or in light of the text, the promise looks hopeless, except that there is hope in Christ. We can't save our children. We would like to, but we can't. And be thankful we don't. Because if we did try to save our children, and if it were up to us, none of our children would be saved. Not even one. It's God's work to save his children, the children of his church, and to make them go in the way they should. God opens their mouths. God opens their hearts. God uses us as tools in his hand to spoon-feed them at first with the milk of God's word and then more complex food as they get older. God works in them by that truth, so that by the truth which we feed them, they are sanctified in Jesus Christ. Our hope is, and our confidence is in this hope of the promise, God's promise, which is rooted in Jesus Christ and him crucified, because Christ, when he died, died for believers and their seed, so that the blood of Jesus Christ covers our homes. And when God looks upon us from heaven upon us, he doesn't see all the sins which we commit, which if he did, the angel of death would not pass over us, but we would be consumed by God's curse. With the blood of Christ shed for us and our seed, God looks upon us as his children, whom he loves in Jesus Christ. And as our heavenly Father, he blesses us with the blessings of Christ, sends to us his Spirit to work in us a life of thanksgiving, in which we as parents, in that thanksgiving, we train our children in the way that they should go, because we have tasted and seen the goodness of God and the blessedness of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we earnestly desire that our children experience the same privilege that we enjoy as parents. That's our hope, beloved. It's not in our ability to teach, to train. Our hope is in Christ, who lives in the hearts of our children. And that motivates us to get up in the morning, to do our work, to hug those children in the love of Christ, to discipline them when necessary because we love them. We want them to go this way that leads to everlasting life and not go in the ways of sin. We're motivated to hope in God's mercy, who will forgive our sins and the sins of our children, the sins of our home. For Christ's sake, will bless our feeble efforts and do what we can't do. He will do the miracle, causing our children to go in the way that they should. That gives you parents hope, also with respect to wayward children, because that's also a reality in our lives. Sometimes the fruits of our efforts seem non-existent. All our work seems in vain. All our prayers, nothing's happening. Think of the mother of St. Augustine. All those prayers for many years and still no change. He's still not going in the way he should. And yet the promise of God remains certain. That child who may be wayward, who is a child of God, God will never let go. That child, that one who has been given to Christ from eternity, though may for a time reject our instruction, Christ will not let them go. They may go lost for a time, they shall not perish. The carnal seed within the church world, they will perish. But not even one of his sheep, that lost child of God, will return. Not on their own. God will bring them back. God will bring them back through much prayer on our behalf, by us, on their behalf. Much patience, patient working with them. But in the end, God's promise remains sure. They will go in the way they should when they get older. They will. Therefore, beloved, in that hope and confidence in Christ and his promise, the great shepherd of the sheep and the lambs, take those lambs which God has given to you, to whom has been given the sign and the seal of the covenant, and now feed my lambs, beloved. Do that. Train them in the way they must go, and then expect that when they are old, they will not depart from it. In fact, they will continue down that way, and they will join you in heavenly glory to walk with you and Christ forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we have been very blessed today to witness the Lord's Supper, but also now the baptism of the covenant child. Impress upon our hearts the importance of thy truth, the need to repent and to believe in Christ. Work also in our children what we cannot do. Work in them also that repentance and faith, so that with a lively faith they may grow up as willing children of Jesus Christ, willing to love him, to follow him, to honor him with a faithful life of thanksgiving. Hear us, Lord, in thy mercy, for we need thy mercy to forgive our sins and to strengthen us to be faithful parents in the instruction of our children, and to be faithful children under the instruction of our parents. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.